This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Needs No Introduction on the Rabble Podcast Network. Fresh ideas from speakers of note. On March 9, 2009, Mr. Hassam Al-Nunu and Mr. Hassan Ziada of the Gaza Community Mental Health Program addressed members of Code Pink in Gaza City. They discussed the psychological effects of the recent Israeli attacks on Gaza, both on the general population and on youth in particular. They also spoke to the need for Israelis to address their own psychological wounds as part of the path to peace. Please listen in.
It was incursions, shelling, killing, demolishing houses, raising farms. This is in addition to the restriction of movement for all types of the population, including patients, and of course, medicine and food. So this harsh reality was ground 2 months ago by the attack on Gaza, the war on Gaza. This war, which was an extremely special type of military actions, in which the whole Gaza Strip was under continuous shelling and attack day and night. No place in Gaza was spared, and no place in Gaza was safe. We all lived this experience, this harsh experience, and we couldn't sleep day or night because of the shelling and the big bombs. And we were always under continuous feeling of threat and insecurity, and threat that we might die anytime, because shelling was everywhere, not only to military or governmental places, but also to civilian homes and houses of normal civilian population. So you couldn't predict whether your neighbor's house will be shelled, and by this you will be affected. You don't know if your car will be shelled. You don't know if the street will be shelled, or any governmental organization or building will be shelled, and then you will be or might be killed. At that time, fear was everywhere. There was a feeling of intimidation, and a feeling of uncertainty and unable to or unpredictability. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen for you or for your children, or maybe for your relatives, for your neighbors, for your friends. Everybody was vulnerable at that time. Of course, this difficulty was accompanied by lack, shortage of all basic needs like food, water, electricity, that are really necessary for people's survival. And of course, people had to manage with whatever they have of resources in order to feed their children and to manage with the least they could have. Of course, there was no shops and bakeries working, especially that there was no regular supply for the basic foods and the fuel at that time. So people had to share whatever they have, sometimes with their neighbors, friends, or whoever is around them in order to survive. When we talk about mental health in such situation, we know that such feeling of insecurity and uncertainty and unpredictability means that most of the people will suffer psychologically from different problems. My colleague Hassan will talk later on about the effects of this war on the psychological well-being of the population, especially the children, who usually are the most affected group among the population, for the simple fact that they are usually by nature, by their structure, by their psychological structure, unable to cope with all these types of problems like the adults. I'll talk about a personal experience. I live in Gaza City in a neighborhood called Tell El Hawa, and I had to leave my house because the Israeli army was very close to the place where I live. And luckily, like 36 hours before the invasion, I took my family, children, my wife, and we moved to another house, to my in-laws' house. And the Israelis invaded the area, and they destroyed everything. They destroyed the streets, the shops, the playgrounds, the electricity bars, the water pipes, sewage, everything. It was like when you go to the area after the invasion, you feel like there was like an earthquake. And for no reason, there was no resistance, between two quotations, no military actions took place in that area. There were no rockets launched by Palestinian fighters from that area. But again, they invaded the area and they destroyed so many properties, including sometimes you feel that they do it by a desire for revenge. Sometimes they have the big tank that goes over a car for no reason. You don't have any reason to do that, but they do it. They shell like a grocery. They burn certain flats. So sometimes you feel that they do it under a desire for revenge. I really don't know why they are doing it, but they do it for no clear reason. If we want to talk about about women situation in Palestine, I think you will hear a lot about this in the coming few days of your visit. But generally speaking, the Palestinian women always have the double burden of suffering the consequences of the occupation and all its practices, as well as the social problems and injustices as any other women all over the world. And this is the case of the Palestinian woman in Gaza. And of course, they are suffering a lot because they have so many responsibilities. To make all the household work and ensure that children will eat and try to provide security for the family, and sometimes to deal with unemployed or hard-dealing husband who is under so much pressure and endures a lot of stressors. I don't want to say much, and I will leave the platform now for my colleague Hassan to talk about the effects of the war on psychological status of the Palestinians, and then maybe we can open the place for questions and answers in order to answer some of your direct questions, things that you want to know about, and maybe by this we give you specific information rather than talk generally.
Thank you, Hassan. My name is Hassan Ziada. I am a psychologist in Gaza Community Mental Health Program. I started to work in GCMHB at 1991. If I want to talk about the consequences of the last war in Gaza, I think we have to look to the war in a continuum way. You have to look to the restricted siege and the effect and the consequences of the restricted siege on Gaza. And you have also to look to the internal division in the Palestinian community and the consequences of this internal division socially and psychologically. And you can see how the war it came in a very difficult time on the Palestinian community, especially in Gaza. Because of that, the consequences socially and psychologically of this war was so difficult for the Palestinian in Gaza. And if you are looking for the restricted siege, the internal division, and the war, the essential and the common thing between the three experiences that the feeling of helplessness and powerlessness among all the Palestinians in Gaza.
Try the first one.
The feeling
helplessness
and powerlessness. And to feel helplessness and powerlessness is not an easy feeling for the human being in general, and for the Palestinian especially in Gaza. So this feeling affected three things for the human being. The motivation will be affected by this feeling, and because you will try many times to change your reality and you cannot succeed. So your motivation will be affected, that you don't have the motivation to do and to react and to try to do something. So this is one thing. And the other thing that will be affected by this feeling is the creative thinking for the people. Creative thinking. That you try many ways to solve and to deal with the situation and you don't succeed. And all the time you look for a new solution and they try without success. So the recreation thinking will be affected. So you will feel that all the time you react in the same way. It's like repetition and the stereotyping for the same things and the same mechanism and the same talks. And the third things will be affected is the emotion. But the emotion of the people, the mood,
the mood.
So because of that, you will feel, a lot of people in Gaza will feel sad and depressed because of these experiences. So this is the dynamic issue for the siege, internal division, and war. And during the war, the people abnormal reaction toward the war. The adults and the children. If we are talking about children, and we concentrate more about children, we observed that during the war that the children became more clinging to their parents. And they don't like to leave the house. All the time they want to be beside their parents. They left their beds and their bedrooms, and all the time they want to sleep near and beside their parents. And the children also have a difficulty to sleep. They have nightmares. It wasn't easy for them to fall in sleep. And all the time, all the night, they are waking up with night terror and nightmares. The children during the war became more and more restless and hyperactive. It was so difficult for them to concentrate, watching the TV or to communicate as they used before the war, because all the time they are occupied by the voices of the bombarding and the shelling, and all the time they have intrusive memories about what they are hearing, watching through the media or the stories they are knowing about during this war. So all the time they are overwhelming and they have re-experiences, and it was difficult for them to concentrate. and it was difficult for them to have a good communication between themselves and in the families and with their parents. They became easily provoked and they cannot tolerate any frustration during the war. So it was not easy for the children, and some of them have avoidance behavior to talk or to think and to also to watch the TV. Some of them try to avoid anything related to the war and the traumas they are hearing about and exposed to. And the children, I think, we will observe later many consequences for the war and the traumas. In the academic level, I think we will have the decrease of the academic achievement, and the teacher in the school will start to talk or to complain about the ability, the cognitive ability of the students in the school will be affected. They cannot have a good attention, registration, and to recall all the information. And the families will start to talk about the deterioration in the academic achievement. And we predict that the level of aggression will increase for between the children themselves, in the homes, in the street, in the schools. And because the feeling of anger, the desire to revenge, because they are feeling helplessness and powerlessness, and the aggression cannot be directed to the enemy, so they will displace their anger and their frustration and their aggression to children in the school and the street in the homes. And one thing I think for it will be difficult also for our children, feeling unsafe and insecure. It's not easy for a children to feel that their parents cannot provide them the basic needs, and they perceived that before the war. And it's not easy for the children also to perceive during the war that their parents cannot protect them. And do you know that the mother and the father, they are the protective and the providers for their children. So this, to perceive this, I think the children will look for other figures and a way of identification to feel more safe and stable and to return back to the same psychological balance and feeling safety and secure. And if we return back to the first intifada, our children identified with masked people, the activists in that intifada. In the second intifada, they became more adult and more mature. They became murdered, and they participated in a weaponed intifada. So they identified with, in that time, with the Israeli soldiers as the symbolic
as a symbol
for the power. So because of that, in the second intifada, the children in the first intifada, they became more aggressive because they identified with symbolic power that was in that time the Israeli soldier. Because of that, they became more aggressive. They became,
suicide bombers.
And now, you can imagine our children will be identified with whom? It's Hamas. It will be a modest, They are looking for other figures, to be identified with. This is, I think, Hamas, or I don't know. But you have to think, what we are talking about the future. Because of this point, I think the Israeli occupation, they are all the time creating their enemy through the Palestinian children. Our children became more aggressive toward them. It was more feeling of insecurity and helplessness and powerlessness. That means you have to look for a superpower figures. One of them is the absolute power, it's God. That means they may become more fanatics. Children, they have
fanatics.
Yeah. And if they want to be identified with other and more يعني extreme يعني parties in the Arab world or in the Palestinian. So I think this is one of the main things that we predict, that our children will become more aggressive. You know, but their aggression will be displaced toward maybe the community itself, because they will not find a real confrontation with the occupation and the enemy. So this energy and this desire for aggression and to revenge will be internal in the community. This is, I think, one of the things that we are predict for our children. And the children and the Palestinian in general, they lost their family members, their houses, their farmers, for their farms. I think also the loss is a very painful experience for all the human beings. Because of that, I think that Palestinian will pass a grief reaction because of loss. And that means, I think as a mental health professional, we will see a lot of depression, because of loss. But the problem here, it will be that the grief process and the mourning process will be affected because of the culture, because of the beliefs and the stigma, the schema of our children and our community about the murders and so يعطل إيش معنات the grief will يعطل تعطيل
will be halted.
Yes, so I think we will have a complicated
the grief will be like halted or
yes, so
like cut
yes. So they will not pass a normal mourning process, and because of that it will be more difficult for them. It will be pathological grief. That means we will have cognitive, behavioral, and emotional reactions, and it will disturb their daily function and in recent future. This is about the children. And the identity and the feeling that you are abandonment by the international community. This is one of the main things. We have to talk about political psychology and psychology. And I think that it's not easy for us to continue in this relationship with the Israeli government. We cannot be the victim of the Jewish experience. I think the international community have its own responsibility to help the Israeli people to heal their trauma. They have to deal with their trauma. They cannot support them forever without just asking honest opinion about what they are doing. We cannot continue that. They will displace and continue projecting their anger and their feeling of powerlessness because of their experience, the past experience through Western Holocaust and other experience. I think we are in need for the international community to help the Israeli government and the Jewish people to heal their trauma, to integrate their trauma, to stop displace and to project their experience. I think we as a Palestinian, we didn't any fault against the Jewish people. We never did. It's not our fault as a Palestinian people toward them. We are the victims of the victims. We have to help them to understand what they are doing. The unlimited support for them will make the situation more complicated. I think psychologically they are in need for the international community. You are controlled by the feeling of guilty toward their experience. You are psychologically controlled by them.
I know some. I'm talking in general. Yes. I'm talking about the international community, because I cannot understand what is going on toward the Palestinian in Gaza. And they use all the most modern weapon in the world. And all of you watch what happened to the Palestinian people in Gaza. And after the truce or the ceasefire, the French government and the German government, they offer to protect the Israeli government from the Palestinian people in Gaza. I cannot imagine. They have 200 nuclear bombs. And you offer to protect them from the Palestinians in Gaza? I cannot imagine what is going on, yes. We have to look for it, yani, psychologically. What is going on? I think, yani, as a mental health professional, we used to do our best and our effort to help our people, and we still have the motivation to do. But our work and the impact and the consequences of our work in the field will be affected, and no guarantee that it will not happen again for our people. So we have sometimes the feeling of wasting time and money in doing intervention. But there is no guarantee from the international community it will not be happen by this way. We have to put more pressure, honest and continuous effort toward the politicians to have a courageous decisions. I think it's one political decision will improve the mental health of the Palestinians in Gaza. Just to end the siege, it means a lot. We have hundreds of mental health professionals, the human rights activists here. And we will do a lot of work. But I think one political decision will be more effective. Because of that, the link between mental health and human rights is essential thing. And we have to raise our voice as a human rights activist and a mental health professional to stop the politicians, the crazy politicians. They are crazy. Immature politicians. Yes, I think. I'm talking about politicians. Yes. And I think it's my opinion. It's a problem. It's not it's Hamas. Before Hamas, what was the problem? What was the Palestinian question before Hamas? Before Hamas, what was the same? You saw? So after Hamas, what will be the problem?
Palestinians again.
So we have to look to the essential issues. The Palestinian question, before Hamas and before Fatah, before the PLO, we have to look for this question, to be more honest about it. Before the siege, if we are talking about the siege and the consequences of the siege, and they imposed the siege, the range of the rockets, it was 10 kilometers. After the restricted siege, it was 40 kilometers. What that means? We had maybe 10 or 20 tunnels in Gaza before the siege. But we are talking now about thousands of tunnels.
Hundreds, actually.
Yes.
Tunnels.
Tunnels. Yeah.
Tunnels between Gaza and Egypt.
Yes. So the question is,
hundreds,
yes. Yes.
Could be.
1,000, maybe. Yes. So you are talking about the siege, and they imposed the siege, try to punish Hamas. They just announced to punish Hamas, but they are punishing. It's a collective punishment for all the Palestinians in Gaza. It's not our fault to believe in democracy and to practice our rights in democracy. We are misled by this big lie, democracy. How we can believe in democracy again if we practice our rights and vote, and we elected the people, and we punished because we practice our rights in the election in sought, and it's one of was yani, sought transparency yani, in, during this election. So I think yani, we cannot yani, splitting politics from mental health. Because of that, I think yani, I can't talk a lot about the mental health reaction, the PTSD reaction, because of the trauma of war. But I don't want to just to talk about reaction. I have to look to the things dynamically. You have to look to the politics, and you have to look to the mental health. And you can imagine what is going on for the Palestinian community and how we will continue in this way. And you can look for the last election in Israel. They going more and more to the right
swing.
Wings, yeah. So what we can imagine, yani, the future. We want to talk about the suffering and humanitarian aid. So we are a human being, and we have to help them. I'm will yani stress about this point. We have to help them to integrate their experience and to do healing for their trauma. And they have to recognize their responsibility about the Palestinian tragedy. We are a human being. They have to recognize. They have to feel guilty. Without feeling guilty, they will not be yani, mature. They will not accept the Palestinian price. All the time, they don't want to feel guilty about what they are doing for the Palestinian people. And the international community are not helping them to feel guilty about what they are doing.
Yes. I prefer Hassan.